Okay, here we go. Something. We came to hijack something. Your brain.
Something.
Okay, here we go.
It is time once again for the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
And we are coming to you live once again from Hatton Studios in beautiful Buena Vista,
downtown Bourbon.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're in New Jersey.
The armpit of the United States.
It's not true. It's wonderful. I love my damn state.
I do too, but I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
That's racist.
Against shovels?
It's getting worse. Anyway, this isn't even related to the episode.
We can fix this all in post.
We sure can. We won't, but we could.
Oh, good.
Isn't it great to know that we have that capability, but no wherewithal and care to do so?
Exactly.
This episode brings us back to the halcyon days of yore.
Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Where halcyon. We all used big words.
Where we all popped quarters into giant machines, where in-app purchases meant standing there and waiting for your turn.
Yep.
So it's all about arcade games.
All about arcade games. Coin-op arcade games. Which, kind of like a dying breed. I mean, now with, you know, you got your PC games, you got your Xboxes, your Xbox Ones,
your PS stations,
PS2s and 3s, your Nat Geo machines.
Your N-Gage telephone tacos, your Coleco boxes. But the point is true that a good old-fashioned video arcade is more novelty now than it is something you expect to go to on a weekend.
Right, and a lot of places around here that did have them had them removed.
Because of the bad element, sir.
Yes, for the same reason that the pool halls were removed in The Music Man, because...
And dancing was removed in Footloose.
Exactly. It did seem to attract the ne'er-do-wells of society.
Yes. The scalawags.
Exactly.
Which
is a shame.
It is. But funny enough, I've seen a couple places in New Jersey now have been opening up old-school-style arcades with, you know, they usually have a gimmick, like you pay $10 and you can play for the day.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of them are old coin-ops. I know there's down the shore they have the classic arcade. It's all jacked up, so you're playing like Pac-Man for 50 cents, but
sure,
you can play it. But yeah, these are our top five. We're doing our five lists.
Do I have five? I have five. Yeah, I don't know that they're not my top five, but they're five that I came up with.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to prattle on about a few more beyond.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have, most of mine are games that, at the very least, I know I dropped more than probably what they would cost me on the Nintendo a couple years later.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, absolutely.
I'm going to go at my first, and it doesn't matter where I go.
Right.
I literally, the movie could be starting.
Right.
The orchestra pit just could be rising. If I see Tapper anywhere, I will go and I will play myself the motherfucking game of Tapper.
Okay.
If you can find, it's very rare if you can find the Budweiser one. Most of the time, you find the root beer Tapper.
Root beer Tapper, yep.
But I'm out of all of the games I have on this list, it's the one I'm the best at.
And I liked how all the versions of that I had ever seen in any of the arcades around, Spaceport in Woodbridge Mall, if you remember when that used to be there. They used to have the arcade in Menlo Park Mall. Chuck E. Cheese, have it. They tried to make it as thematic as possible.
Yes.
So you had the joystick to move your character, but then you actually had what looked like, a tap.
Yeah.
That you would pull for the, so they tried to make it, they tried to make it immersive.
It's the first truly immersive video game experience.
Exactly.
For a game that came out in 1964. But yeah, you move your little guy up. It starts off with, four or five rows, and very slow-moving drunkards across the left side of the screen to the right, and he's got to pour him some beer, shoot it on down. Pour some beer, shoot it on down. Hit the button, win a cookie. Occasionally, you could pause the guys who were currently trumping forward by collecting, I don't remember what you even had collected, it was like a pretzel or something, and dancing girls right on the screen. Oh, it was his tip. It was a tip. Dancing girls right up there. All of them turn and they start to watch. And so you get a little leg show going on there, little girls with their little can-can dance.
Right, right.
And it gives you a breather so you can collect the glasses as they're hurling glasses down the line.
That's just it. It wasn't just serving them.
No.
It was just as fast as you whipped it down. These drunk bastards are throwing the empty ones back at you.
Bastards.
So you always had that, I got to go serve that guy down there, but that mug's about to fall off the end of the bar.
Yep.
Which do I choose?
And it would come down to where each level started off with a bunch of guys ready. The more levels you play, the more guys at the bar, the quicker they're coming, the quicker the glasses go. It's really a game of defeat. You're not going to win. You're never going to beat it. It's a let's play it until the pattern dies.
Right.
I don't know whether anybody's ever seen a tapper kill screen.
That's a good point.
I would have to look. I don't know whether that game's that good that it's ever gotten to kill screen level.
Sure.
But it is clearly, without a doubt, my favorite of the classic
old
coin-ops.
Very Call of Cthulhu in the fact that you know you're going to lose.
Oh, yes.
How long are you going to survive before you submit?
And how much hair do you pull out along the journey?
Exactly. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I remember I sucked at that game. Like, I hardcore was bad at that game.
I got good at it. It's one of my few games that I think just through sheer will of perseverance did I learn, like, okay. It almost got to the point when I was playing that game, because I used to play it, where was it? It might have been at the Bridgewater.
Okay.
I think they might have had one where I knew, like, okay, by the time I'm dropping third guy, first guy's throwing glass. By the time I'm grabbing first glass, fourth guy's too close. Got to go to fourth guy and then second guy. Like, I knew the number pattern.
So, let me say, there was a pattern. I mean, even
at
so
first.
Much as Pac-Man, there was a pattern that you could go through. And as long as you do the movements when you're supposed to, it was very, you know, Dragon's Lair space-ish.
Going
through and making the movements.
That's early on. Later on, it just becomes a cacophonous mess, and you just lose. But when early on, you can beat those, if you know what you're doing, those first, like, four levels without even batting an eyelash.
Okay.
So there's mine. Tapper.
I didn't even know that game had four levels. That's how bad I was at that game.
Yeah, they change after, I think it's level five, the bar changes.
Oh, okay.
Where you're no longer facing four bars that are going left to right. There's two bars left to right and two bars right to left. And you're like, oh, fuck you. You're just confusing me now.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep your eyes in one column.
Right, right. Yeah, no good. I went, again, we've mentioned before there's a bit of an age difference between the two of
Smidge.
Us. So, I went with a vector graphics game.
Ooh.
The sit-down Star Wars game.
A fond memory.
Had the whole X-Wing cockpit, you sit down in there, it was all vector graphics, you would go through, have the TIE Fighter battle, little three-phase game, you had the TIE Fighter battle in outer space, and then you had the, I'm going along the, surface of the Death Star, shooting either the little missile banks on the bottom or the tops of the towers, and then you were going through the canyon.
Yeah.
Yep, through the tunnel.
Which looks exactly like it did in Star Wars on their little viewfinder screens.
Yep, absolutely.
The
more times you've gone through it, you would get obstacles in the tunnel. You got to go over this, under this, over this. They threw like shit in the way. Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen that game in the full sit down mechanic. I've seen it as the stand up coin op.
There was a Chuck E. Cheese by where I live that used to have the sit down version of it. It wasn't even like where the main arcade was. You know, they have
it's in the back lot.
Oh no, they had the main arcade, and then they had like three or four rooms, and the rooms were where you could actually sit down and eat your pizza, and they had the little animatronic, you know, animal bands up there playing and stuff. And it was in one of those actual dining rooms off in a corner somewhere. So it wasn't with the rest of the, you know, 5,000 arcade games that they had. You really had to know where it was. But I loved playing that game. Yeah, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows the vector graphics guy. Great game, though. I used to love playing that game.
Now, did that one have voice files? Does Obi-Wan, like, maybe I'm thinking of one of the other ones.
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, I'm thinking of one of the, because there's been other...
Oh, yeah.
Through the Death Star games.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, for one of them, I knew Obi-Wan talked. It's probably one of the newer renditions.
There was a Return of the Jedi game that was very... It was very disorienting because it was kind of Zaxxon film.
Oh, like three-quarter
And it wasn't right to left. It was lower left corner to upper right corner, and you did the whole sky cycle through the moons of Endor.
Right.
You did the whole Millennium Falcon escaping the, you know, Mark II Death Star blowing up kind of thing. It was a lot of that kind of stuff, and I think he might have been in there. But now that you mention it, I think as you neared up on the exhaust part, there might have been a Use the Force Luke that came through the speakers on the Vector ones.
Yeah, it's that one thingy, because I think I got there once, like as a, you know, as a mistake.
It's an error on my part.
Yeah. I remember those. There's a couple of those Vector games that are pretty good, I think. Okay, I was just making... You do have the other one that I wanted to mention, my other favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is my favorite Vector game, but we'll get to you. We'll get to that one.
Okay.
My other old game, the other ones, they kind of go, I guess I'm going like through time here, because my next one was Tron.
Okay.
To clear this up, not Deadly Discs. Deadly Discs is for pussies.
I gotta tell you, I liked both of them.
No, I did. I totally, and I had both of them on the Intellivision too.
Yeah.
Like, I played the Intellivision ones until my thumbs were bruised.
Yeah.
Because we had that Intellivision was the game machine of the house. And I don't know if you ever remember the Intellivision had the disc at the bottom and a number pad, like you were gonna call somebody.
Yep.
And you slid in the thing on the top. But Deadly Discs is what I played on the Intellivision. The Tron movie game, most of mine, I played at the Wachung Flea Market, which is now gone. It's now like a CJ's or something. Pardon me. But they had this like crummy arcade that was dirty and dusty, and they had 8 games. And every like 2 months, they would cycle out one of them and bring in a new one. And my father had a shop in there. So I would go and work with him on the weekends, and like I would take my whatever money he gave me for sitting watching his store, and I'd go and drop it on video games. So Tron was one of them. The game was so old, everything was burnt in. The whole screen, the whole start sequence, out the glass just looked like the drop thing, the two-legged dropper. Yeah. But to this day, if I can find a light cycle game, I'll play the shit out of it.
Yeah,
I love light cycle games.
Yeah.
I always thought it would be very cool once the immersive 3D Oculus Rift sort of... I think light cycle games are a natural fit for being in the now.
I remember that game. Because it had kind of like a breakout game.
Yep.
It had the light cycle game.
Yep, it had the tank game.
It had...
And it had the disc. It did have the bouncing off the... It wasn't like Deadly Discs.
Right.
But it did have a disc game.
Yep. I remember the light cycle game because I remember there were some levels where the best offense was a good defense, and you just made a box around yourself and then put yourself in slow and just made the narrowest spiral that you could as close to your own walls and just let the AI fuck up because eventually they will run into themselves and you're just going to hem yourself in, circle the wagons, and wait them out.
After you beat those mini games, then you got the final mini game, which was another breakout with the final boss with a master computer, and then start the cycle again.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, those were those. We're going to give you 5 games. You're going to beat them, and then they're just going to get harder and faster.
Yeah, until
harder, faster. Sorry.
What?
I don't know where that came from.
Well, please, I'd like it to leave. Can it go?
Anyway. Right. But I did like Deadly Discs of Tron because it had a fun mechanic in the fact that you used that spinner to move the targeting line across that kind of...
That's true.
...equator around the room, and that was your targeting. So you weren't targeting something specific. You were targeting something on the wall because you were constantly... If you threw it right at the guy, the AI was smart enough.
Oh, yeah.
You had to get those... I got to get like a 3-bounce ricochet off of this shit to try to...
The Tron game, it didn't have joystick. It was all that circle paddle.
Right, yep. The
whole thing was all just that center, like, I gotta spin it thing.
Yep.
Which was daunting, but at least unique.
Right. No, I agree. I'm gonna go with this one. I've only ever seen this arcade game once. And it was in the Chuck E. Cheese by my house.
Okay.
And based on our history of... mutual likes and entertainments.
You.
Tag team wrestling.
Is this the old the WWF one?
No, it was not a branded one whatsoever. It was called All-Star Tag Team Wrestling.
Okay.
You had a tag team. You were a tall, skinny guy and a shorter kind of, muscly brute guy, you know, big broad shouldered kind of guy. And the mechanic of this game was you had a joystick and you had an action button. And when you got near the other opponent, you start mashing on your action button. And that was almost like getting your initiative. If you got that initiative, you would have a little pop-up window show up above your wrestler's head. Every time you hit that button, it would cycle through a different wrestling move.
That's crazy. I've never heard of this
at all. The more you cycled, the stronger and more powerful those wrestling moves got, but obviously the longer it was taking you to quote-unquote apply them. The longer it took, based off of how winded he was, because you had a little like energy meter on either side for yours and his. So if he was really full of energy, you couldn't try to cycle through and hit that button 16 times to get a figure four leg lock on your first move, because he'd break out.
Right.
So you've got to go with, you know, hip toss, which was only like two hits in, arm bar, which was one hit in, headlock, which was three hits in. You know, and you do these little moves to start wearing down their health bar. Once they get halfway down, then you start going
suplexes
through, like, camel
and
clutch.
Slams.
And exactly. And if you start getting winded, you move yourself over, hit your action bar, big, you know, tag in the other guy. He'd come in, you go back and forth.
It sounds a really great dynamic.
It was very cool because you'd start to realize, okay, figure four leg lock is 19 button hits in, you know, so pile driver is, you know, 11 hits in. So you start planning out your, he's not hurt enough. So I go, okay, hip toss. Okay, suplex. Okay, body slam. Okay, now, I got it. Okay, cool. So you're just like wailing away on him trying to get to that magic number.
I'm excited just listening about it.
It was really fun. And if you were getting pinned, you would have to mash on the button to try to break out. If you were pinning, you would mash on the button to counter the AI mashing on its internal button. So it was just a lot of joystick, a lot of button mashing,
yeah.
a lot of joystick.
It just
a lot
sounds
of
like a
mashing.
Painful, fun game.
But it was so awesome. I had to do some research to find online because it had a different name in Japan. But when they ported it over to the United States, they had to change the name on it.
Nobody understands.
Tag Team Wrestling.
That sounds awesome. Like that,
it
really
was
want to
so
look
great.
It up.
Yeah,
it sounds to me like it very well might be from the guys who did like Fire Pro and stuff that turned into what like the indie favorites of wrestling games.
I had a couple Fire Pros for my Super Nintendo. I don't know. It felt very Namco.
Okay.
Like in the graphics, but then in that era, a lot of stuff kind of felt very Namco with those kind of graphics.
Because there was the other, because WWF had their tag team game, which I always liked, because it was very, very vibrant. The characters, a lot of the wrestling games that have come out for, like, the Nintendo, they were all like, hey, it's the beige block with the arm strap. That must be Andre the Giant. There's the beige one, the beige guy that's thinner and with blonde hair. That's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, this was very orange and brown and blue.
Yeah, this
like,
is...
those were the three colors.
Because the tag team ones, you're like, that's motherfucking Demolition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm being Demolition. Ooh, with Legion of Doom's in it.
Yeah.
You know, so this sounds right up my alley.
I think I remember those because those almost, to me, seemed to have the same kind of graphics and color patterns that, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game did. That kind of art style and
very
color.
Much so. That, like,
yeah,
Konami beat-em-ups.
Yes,
which,
Techno Bowl kind of feel.
Oh, how come none of those made my list?
Yeah.
Oof.
If you pull up a screenshot of All-Star Tag Team Wrestling, you'll see exactly what I'm talking
about.
It was so fun to play, and it was one of those games where, since hardly anybody knew about it or cared to know about it, you could walk into an arcade in the busiest time of day, and you never had to wait for somebody to get off that machine. You just walk right up, start dumping quarters
That's
in it.
Wonderful.
Good stuff. Oh, reliving my youth.
Yeah.
Such a great game.
There's apparently an arcade opening up down the street. As soon as it opens up, we're going to play.
Okay.
I've already told Madison that like I'll be there. She can be at the vape shop. I will be over dropping quarters.
Exactly.
So, similar to button mashing, mine you touched upon is a journey of frustration in Dragon's Lair. And I chose it because, once again, the Watchung Flea Market, it was one of the games that cycled in.
Right.
Don Bluth created game. Like, the art of this game was this from the same company that did American Tail and Land Before
Secrets
Time,
of NIMH.
All of them. And it was gorgeous. I mean, you're watching a fucking movie. It's a laser disc. And
right.
To the same, when the CDO and the Laserdisc movies came out, these games were there. Like, you could play Dragon's Lair on your Laserdisc player, if I remember correctly.
Yes, using your up, down, left, right controller. Absolutely.
Because the games were so stupidly simple, as that's all you had to do. For those who don't know, you would watch a movie, and the movie, you'd watch, let's say, 30 seconds of this. And now Dirk the Daring, now has to get to the end of this pathway. So the screen flashes. You have the choice to hit left, up, right, down, attack, or jump.
Yep.
Hit the right one. Cool, I've gone to the next thing. Hit the wrong one, I am a skeleton that's crumbled to the floor.
Yep.
Okay, let's try it again. I tried up, let's try right.
Yep.
I have tried right. Shit. I am a skeleton that has tumbled to the floor. Let me try again. I have tried down. Down is wrong. I am a skeleton that has tumbled to the floor. Up, I have to put another quarter. I try left. I move left. Yes. Woo. Full screen flashes again. I move up. I am a skeleton that falls to the floor.
Yeah.
Add repeat for months.
Forever. There was a... I mean, that was one of those games where you really got better from watching somebody else play.
Yes.
Because the brilliance of that game was... There were probably 30 different scenarios
right.
that I can think of off the top of my head before you get to the dragon at the end. Mm-hmm. Just 30 different, because every scenario was you're going through this castle looking for the dragon. So everything was a different room, so to speak.
And you could go to, and when you went into the rooms, they were somewhat randomized. Were they randomized, or would you choose a different room?
No, they were fairly randomized,
just
it. There were like 30 different rooms.
Because I remember the one where the arrows fly across the screen.
Each room had a mirror image, so that immediately doubles the amount of rooms that you had to get through.
That I remember.
Yeah. So it was really ingenious in the way that it did randomize the rooms. So you went through a door, and you didn't know what the next room you were going to go into was. But every room had its own set of parameters and commands.
Mm-hmm.
So if you knew how to do the chessboard room, then you knew how to do it right ways or mirrored ways. So you leave the room with the snake comes down. You got to chop the snake and then dive to the right. And then another snake comes out and chop that and dive to the left and out the door. Then it's, okay, let's see what room comes up next. Oh, okay, the chessboard room. I know the chessboard room. You leave the chessboard room. What comes up next? Oh, okay, now I'm in the barrel going down the river with the little whirlpools that I have to navigate around.
Yeah, and I've never seen this one, so I have to learn it.
Yeah, so you, as long as you could memorize each little 45-second room mini game, you could make your way through to get to the actual dragon at the end where it had the princess. And
it's one of the few games that I've ever seen that has such dramatically increased returns, because once you know what you're doing, you can play the game. You can beat the game in one quarter,
right?
Which is pretty impossible for most video games, but at the same time, it took you like $60 to get there
easily.
Yeah, it's the only game I've ever seen somebody use a. Well, strike that. It's the only game I've ever seen pre-internet culture where I saw somebody with a notebook and a walkthrough.
Right.
Because I went, I was young, and the reason I most definitely put on my list is because it was so unique and so different, because nothing had graphics like this.
Sure.
So when you're a little kid, you're not really thinking, I'm moving my elevator action guy around and hitting jump. No, you're like, I'm watching a fucking movie. I'm a movie guy.
You were playing a cartoon.
Yeah. You don't really consider the fact that you're dropping 1,000 quarters because you keep turning to a pile of fucking skeletons.
Right.
But yeah, it's the first time I ever saw a guy with a friend standing next to him was like up, right,
yep,
jump, right. You know, I had never considered that was even a possibility at the ripe old age of 8.
Now, out of that Don Bluth Studios, I will say I was a big fan of Space Ace more than Dragon's Lair.
Space Ace. Yeah. I never had the experience.
I'll save you, Kimmy.
I don't think I ever had the experience with Space Ace. It's just I saw it and I've played it before.
Space Ace was cool because it added the permutations in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you weren't just playing Dexter. You could... And there were at certain times where, his adrenaline level in the game would get to a certain point, he would start to glow. And you could stay as Dexter in, either A or mirrored image level that you're on.
Right.
Or you hit your action button and you became Space Ace. Big, huge, like, head over fist, chiseled, like Hulk kind of character,
right.
But with Fabio kind of hair and face, and it was different. So every level you played through had a Dexter level and a Space Ace level, because if you turned into Ace, the game mechanic was different than if you were Dexter.
Okay.
And each one of those had a mirror image, so it was really like
we're just gonna rip money out of you any which way.
Oh
we can.
My god, yeah! But that was good stuff, though.
They and that's what I loved about old arcade. I mean, seriously, we knew we were just losing money into the Simpsons beat 'em up, but motherfucker, we could play for hours.
Yep, no, absolutely.
So what do you got next, my friend?
I went with a game called Pigskin.
Yeah, this one again, this is not a one that I'm familiar with.
It's kind of a side scroller. It's medieval.
Okay.
It's medieval rugby.
Okay.
You're basically kind of playing football. It's like a 4-on-4 kind of football game. But it's rugby slash soccer-ish in the way that you're not playing distinct plays. It's, hey, this guy has the ball. I have to run towards the end zone. The other guy tried to tackle me. I can either pass the ball to somebody else, or if I get hit hard enough and he beats me up and I drop the ball, I have to have somebody else on my team come over and pick up the ball. But it's really a lot more like soccer-ish than football. But
yeah, I'm not
it's called Pigskin.
Okay.
It was very fun. And if you got fairly good at it, you know, your ending score at the game was like, you know, 113-4. Because right. You're just completely kicking the AI's ass.
Gotcha. So the,
but it was very, very cartoonish. Like very, very 16-bit cartoonish
gotcha.
Kind of graphics.
So it's an older era.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to play this a lot at Bowcraft.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, the magical world of dreams that Bowcraft.
For those unaware, Bowcraft is a small little amusement park thing, but I've gone there in, I want to say, probably last time I went there was like 8, maybe 9 years ago. It's just fallen to disrepair, and like all the games, the buttons are kind of half wedged in. And
oh, sure.
Yeah, the place is really the land that time forgot.
Well, they still do parties and stuff out there, from what I know. They have, like, you know, the roller coaster, but the roller coaster is, like, you know...
It's made for 8-year-olds.
200 yards of track. They have go-karts and bumper cars. The big draw to Bowcraft always used to be the miniature golf course.
Yes.
But the miniature golf course fell so into disrepair, and miniature golf as a pastime kind of just fell out of vogue, that they said, why are we wasting all this acreage on miniature golf when we could park so many more cars? So they got rid of the miniature golf course and turned it into a parking lot. And that was a damn shame because that was a really fun miniature golf course.
We just heard about another one. I'll tell you about it after the show. One in Union that does glow-in-the-dark.
Oh, Monster Golf on 22? Yeah,
yeah. We're planning on going in a couple weeks.
Oh, nice. That's all indoor, too.
Yeah. But I saw pictures. You can do a Google tour.
Oh, nice.
Through the whole thing. And we were like, oh, I just want to trip balls and just go run around a miniature golf course. This sounds awesome.
I'll have to check it out.
My next, the last two on my list are... All right, look. I'm not good at fighting games. I'm not. But I would be remiss if I did not mention a couple fighting games because this one very specifically was the Watchung Flea Market. And this was the first time I ever felt, like, truly humbled by a video game. And that was, I was sitting there, I was playing Street Fighter 2, and I was playing my guy Blanca, and that, right now, there's a bunch of Street Fighter fans that are going, yeah, you weren't good at Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, no.
You used Blanca.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blanca was my boy, man. I can hold down, hit punch, I can slam on punches, and I'm turning electric.
Yep.
Fuck you. So I'm sitting there and playing Street Fighter 2, and somebody comes up and they choose, was it Balrog, the Mike Tyson punchy guy. And I'm like, oh, I could beat fucking Balrog. No, I can't.
No.
I can't beat somebody who knows how to play Balrog.
Yeah.
I can't even beat somebody who pretends they think they know how to play Balrog, especially when I'm fucking Blanca.
Yeah.
But this guy was he worked at the flea market too, and every weekend I'd show up, and every weekend I would get my ass handed to me as Blanca. Never did I think, maybe I should try a better character.
Yeah, no.
There's no reason why he should. He's beating me.
Right.
So, Street Fighter 2 is on my list, just out of, it's such a major part of my, like, youth. It's famous in its own right, you know, I don't really have to tout the merits of the Street Fighter system. I can't do any of them now.
Right, right.
I've tried. I've bought Capcom fighter games, and they're just, they're like, count how many frames between this move and that move. The fourth one is where you can hit back and get your technical fucking response. And, like, I could watch other people play and be like, that was really cool. But I bought Capcom vs. Street Fighter on for my PS3. I'm enjoying it.
Right.
Having fun with it. You know what? I'm having so much fun with it. I'm going to go online. Why did I do that?
Yeah, no.
Oh, good. You're going to play Dr. Doom. I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I was never good at fighting games. I will say that you never want to think there's a character imbalance, which is why I think subliminally you never moved off of Blanca, because you didn't want to say, well, obviously this character is no match for Balrog. I'm just, my timing is off. So it's me, you know, Pebcak. It's, yeah. I have to change my style. After a couple times, you know, months of getting your ass handed to you, you end up just taking M. Bison just so you can get your one little yay victory in. And that's really like the Minnesota Vikings playing the little giants. You know, it's just like, okay, I've got the most super OP character in the game. You know, I'm just going to torpedo, 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 torpedo. And the guy even kind of knows, okay, fine, take your one win, be happy, because I'm going to go right back to kicking your ass.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you go try Blanca again.
Yeah. I was one of those people where if I lost too often, I would start trying to do the spread offense thing. So you kind of take a step back from the game, kind of, you know, get your head back in it, and then you step back to the game, but yep. Your stance is a little wider, your elbows are out a little bit wider. I'm going to try to muscle the other dude off of his controllers.
You're playing the psych game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, before long, you're doing almost splits in front of the game. The dude is playing from the side of the cabinet, reaching around, and still kicking my ass. And it's like, you know what? I'm not dropping another $50 in quarters nope. So you can kick my ass. I'm going home. Terrible at those. No, yeah. I absolutely agree.
I love the premise of them. I love the display of fighting games. Anytime I see a cool, new, interesting fighting game, like when Killer Instinct came out, I'm like, awesome, Primal Urge, totally, yeah, I get to play as dinosaurs. The 3D Pit Fighter hologram-looking thing.
Oh.
Do you remember which
Jesus.
One I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, the characters were on mirrored surfaces, so they
yep.
looked 3D. It looked like you were playing the chess game in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The game was horror bad. It was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to try it. Any one of these games. You put me in a room and put, like, equipment on me, and I'll try. I've played moshing games because they have a fighting game thought process behind
right,
it.
Right, right.
Like, I'll try them. I'm going to suck at every one of them, but God damn it, I'm going to try.
Yeah. I loved playing fighting games when I was playing the computer. The minute somebody, you know, and that was the thing.
Yeah.
It was almost like turf wars. You know, you're in an arcade and you're playing a fighting game, and all of a sudden the guy who frequents the arcade all the time comes up and he puts his quarter in, and he's, you know, his mentality is, you know, nobody's playing my fighting game except me. So you're like, okay, I'll go play fucking Mario Kart. I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, I'll go back to the Centipede game. I didn't mean to intrude. But
I have an exception to my rule, but we're gonna save that.
Okay. The one fighting game I really did like was Marvel.
They're all
the Marvel
so much
fighting
fun.
Game, where like. You know, the one that I remember is, like, you're Iron Man, and you pull off your super move,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the giant 19-barreled plasma cannon falls from the sky, and it's just, like, a three-second shot.
Of white.
But the other dude is in the air, so it's just showing you, like, you know, 87 combo, because you've just juggled him with 19 barrels.
Berserker Barrage.
Exactly. And Blackheart, I remember that. Blackheart
yeah, that's the
was
original
awesome.
One. That was the original Marvel Fighter.
I loved playing that game. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love fighting games. I wish I was gooder at them.
What was the other one? What was the one with all the, you had the Talebane, and you had the Mummy. And,
oh, Darkstalkers.
Morgan, yeah, Darkstalkers. That was another great one.
That was
Felicia, cat chick.
What's wonderful about Darkstalkers, has nothing to do with video games, is now that I get to host burlesque from time to time, I know girls who dress up like characters from Darkstalkers.
See, that right there is fucking fantastic.
A very good friend of mine in the burlesque universe, Lily Stitches, is putting together, I believe, a Felicia outfit literally as we speak.
Yeah, I might need a moment. Because Felicia was the cat chick with the big,
yes.
huge, poofy, blue hair, sex head.
Yes.
And the butt thong. And
yes. In the one game I was exceptionally good at, didn't make my list, just because I don't think I even played it at the arcade. I know it's at the arcade. I never played it there. Was the Super Puzzle Fighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
the little baby chibi ones, Street
yep.
Fighter. Except it was like building up gems and cracking them.
Yep.
Like nobody could beat me in my house.
I was
destroyer. I had one friend who would come over and we would have like to the death battles
oh,
over
yeah.
that game. But everybody else, I could play Dan. The guy who only drops red gems because
yep.
he's an asshole. And I would wreck everyone. But just to note to Felicia, there's a weird... Her animation in when she's like about to lose,
right.
she's literally on all fours presenting. Just
yeah.
saying.
No, yeah. I'm with you.
I'll show you pictures of Ms. Lily Stitches, and everybody
awesome.
Should go check out Lily Stitches around New Jersey. She's a wonderful burlesque performer.
Sounds good.
Next on your list, sir.
Crystal Castles.
It's... Please.
Was one of those trackball games.
Yeah.
It was, again, it was a weird perspective, because it was like the 45-degree corner perspective. So, you know, the if you're looking at the square, the one corner was closest to you. The opposite corner was away from you. And it was almost Pac-Man-ish in a way where you played a little bear. And it was kind of a maze, almost like an M.C. Escher-ish kind of maze. And you had a jump button and a trackball. And the object was to go along this little staircase and pathway maze and collect all the hearts without having the bad guys hit you and do it within a time frame.
Yeah, I hated the thing I hated about this game, because I had to pull it up to remember what it was,
right,
is how many of those goddamn little Hershey Kisses you had to pick up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was unforgiving.
Yeah.
Please.
And the cool thing was yeah, there was, you know, a, I don't want to say a cheat mode, but there was a Uber mode where, you know, you go up and you play two-player with somebody, mm-hmm. and they go through and they play their first level, and they get, like, you know, 800, 900,000 points kind of thing, and then they die, and then it's your turn, and you take that first map, and you run to the corner, and then you run to the very back corner, completely opposite where you start from,
okay.
and you hit the jump button, and it teleported you to level 20 and gave you 100,000 points.
Was it a glitch? Was it a...
It was built into the game. It's almost like if you've played up to this level, but you keep losing around this level, where you know, and you want to get to the next levels,
right.
instead of wasting 30 bucks in quarters, we're just going to let you get to the harder stuff for those who are in the know about it.
Okay.
So you're just like, okay, cool. I'm just going to, boop, teleport. There you go, level 20, 100,000 points. Yay.
Yeah, I'm looking at this game, and it's one of those games that I think I know I've played a couple times.
Like, right, right.
Probably at a bowling alley.
Yep.
It's probably there.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah, it was big in bowling. I was kind
yeah,
of
like it's just the kind of game that I was like, yeah, I'll throw a quarter in it because everybody else is playing something else. And I would just, oh, fuck this game.
Yeah, yeah.
It was never my bit bag.
But you would move as fast as you could spin that trackball. So it wasn't like I'm moving a joystick and I'm moving, you know, like
right.
like Gauntlet where you move in a direction and he just runs as fast as the guy's running. No, if you inch that trackball little by little, the guy on the screen just inches little by little. If you go and just spin it, the guy's like down the straightaway. So that's how you got around some of the bad guys. You get a straight shot. It was, you know, Daytona 500. Just spin that trackball. Eating all these little Hershey Kisses or
yeah, whatever the hell they
up.
Are.
Yeah.
Same thing with Qbert, though, just because the perspective made that game fucking horrible.
I hated that game.
Down doesn't work, left doesn't work,
yeah,
right
exactly.
doesn't work.
And I was always on the wrong level to jump onto that teleporting disc because I thought, because, oh, here I oh, fuck, I'm off by one.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Bert.
Thanks for a game where your perspective equals southwest, southeast, northeast, and northwest.
Yeah, exactly.
You dick.
Fucking D-bags.
2 30-something-year-old men argue about Qbert today.
Seriously.
Lose their shit over an orange dude. Yeah, but dead serious, when he appears on Wreck-It Ralph. Have you seen Wreck-It Ralph?
No, I haven't.
There's a cute little side thing where Qbert has lost his game, so he's sitting there in the sideline, he's hungry, and he's got his little sign that has the curse letters, because
right.
he didn't really speak. And Ralph's like, how you doing there, Q? He goes, yeah, I know. Me too. I'm like, yeah, good. Fuck you, Qbert, living homeless.
Nice.
So I explained I'm not good at fighting games.
Right. But yeah, you have another fighting game up here, don't you?
I do. I have one more.
Okay.
Because this one, not only was I not bad at it, I won't say I was good because I was never the type to go, like, I'm going to learn every fucking combo move, as I had friends who were for this game specifically.
Oh, sure.
This game had one of the most unique dynamics that I've ever seen, ever. In that, and whenever you played the game, after you had your fight, when he wins, when he loses, whatever, a bar of 8 empty icons would appear on the screen. And if you hit your fight button, your upper left, your upper right, whatever, the icons would change. And it's a two-player. There's literally, for both players, there's enough icons for each of the buttons. If you hit the right combo, there would be, like, almost sounds like a pinball game win.
Okay.
Like that crack.
Yep.
And when the game booted up again, because the game would reboot, there would be a new character unlocked.
Oh, nice.
Forever.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was, the only way to unlock these characters was to go into the game and do these codes. So, and this was Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, for those who are unaware. So I remember very distinctly when the codes, we were watching the internet like nuts.
Sure.
Because it was right at the beginning of like every, this was, if you, we, the nerdy kids were
sure,
using
sure.
the internet. So me and my nerdy friends were on there. And we were watching all the forums. for when somebody in like Schenectady figured out that somebody figured out that if you do this one, you're going to get Jade or Smoke or whomever. Shit. They found out Smoke. Awesome, let's go. And we would literally pile into the car and go to every Ultimate Mortal Kombat game from here to fucking Saskatoon to do that just so we could be the cool kids that unlocked Smoke in all these places.
Because that's almost like street cred back in the day. You're like, dude, you opened up Smoke. Awesome, because now everybody gets to use them.
That's the key of it, is that you got to do it and everybody else got to use it.
Yep.
So if it was the only time that I ever saw the Felix, which is my favorite diner right down here on Route 22, they had this game in there, and it was we would just drop money in there all the time because it's 5 minutes away from here. But we went in, and there was somebody else playing, and we were like, we got the code. And literally, we said, we got a code, and the kid was like, finish my fucking game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants to see what's the thing that's unlocked, and it's old school Sub-Zero, or it's, you know, some weird, crazy character.
Right, right.
One of the most unique experiences I've ever had with a video game, and it was such a part of my friend's hangout to, like, go wherever we could to unlock these fucking stupid characters.
Right, right.
And then even a month later, because my friends are really good at remembering stuff. Clearly, I'm not.
Right.
We'd go to an arcade, and they'd be like, oh, they don't have Katana. Shit, which one's Katana? Is Katana orange, 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 or is Katana orange, red, orange? And the other friend would be like, oh, it's orange, red, orange, orange, red, orange. Okay, cool. We got Katana over here. Like, we just knew them. Or they knew them. I watched.
Right, right.
I was pleasant. And I was not horrible at the game with Cabal. Now all the Mortal Kombat people go, he played Cabal.
Yeah, exactly.
The spinny guy with the crowbars. Anyway.
The last one I have here, and I'm sure we're gonna riff on a bunch after we're done here, but the last one I have here is, you know, in hindsight, I look back, and it was not a good game.
No,
it was a dumb game. It was, you were woodpecking at little asteroids with your little pea shooter gun to get big mineral deposits to fly off. You collect one mineral deposit, and it gave you one better shot with your B button. And the whole reason you're doing this is because there's a demonic satellite that is slowly being built as the game goes on.
Did you have to look up this narrative?
Nope.
Okay.
And this...
I did not know this was the narrative of this game.
Yeah. This demonic satellite was fast as fuck. And completely unfair.
Yes.
And the only time I ever saw this game, I saw it in a sit-down version, and I saw it in a stand-up version, but the stand-up version had a canopy that went over your head that was clear, like clear mesh, but the borders were solid, and there were speakers that hung down kind of behind you in the surround sound speaker position.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Sinistar.
Yes.
Because as you're playing this game and mining away for your little extra shots, the demon satellite that was being built would taunt you as you're playing, I hunger. And they would pump it through all four speakers, mm-hmm. and you're just like, holy fuck, what the hell was that?
Prepare
and every now and
die.
Then, he'll just do like a flyby, and you see, oh fuck, the border and half of his face is done, and I only have two super bullets. So you start mining away.
I live.
That right there was the end of it. Because if you heard that...
Game was over.
Exactly. Because it literally took them maybe 40 seconds to build this demonic satellite. And in 40 seconds, you've found two asteroids and gotten two super shots. And this thing had like 30 pieces that you had to blow up. It was... But I would play it because you were determined. You know what? There's something I'm missing. I'm going to find something that's going to make this game really fun.
Oh,
not so much.
You.
Not so much.
I was actually getting the game. I was getting Sinistar confused with a different game when I said your other vector game. I was thinking of, and I clearly don't remember the name of that one, the one where you're on the... Yeah, you're on the tunnel, and you're shooting in forward.
I remember. And the minute you said that, I'm looking at it, I'm like, he's thinking of this other one. You were almost like a yellow comma, and you would move from like segment to segment.
I don't remember the name of it.
And the little red X's would come up, and you shoot them, and then you'd have to shoot the spikes down and blow them. Yep.
Or the little TIE fighter-y ones would like spider across diagonally up at you.
Yeah. No, that was a good game, too.
I don't remember the name of it now,
though. It's okay.
But I do, once you said Sinistar, I loaded it up on screen. I'm like, oh, Sinistar, with that big fucking stupid yell at you face.
Exactly.
I hunger.
It's... I think this was one of those games where when it was at the arcade, I'd play it twice, go, I don't know, it's good. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Did I have fun? Like, now that the game is over and I don't have a quarter anymore, can you tell me, did I enjoy my experience with you?
I had to buy $10 roll of tokens. I have 2 tokens left. There's nothing else. I may as well just throw them into Sinistar. What the fuck, you know?
That's one of my favorite things in the world when I go to and I find an arcade is I love to find the ones with them. Have you ever seen the games with the mods where somebody's like done something to the game? Like, mostly you see with Pac-Mans, that that have turbo buttons or stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love to find myself a Pac-Man with a turbo button.
Right.
So I can play that shit all day. I don't care that I'm only going to lose twice as fast.
Right.
But yeah, Sinistar is sorry, that I don't even know why that narratively structured that way.
Now, talking about Pac-Man, there was a thing that went around Facebook and the internet a couple months ago. Somebody created a Flash first-person Pac-Man game. Have you seen that?
I have not. It makes sense.
Dude, I played it a little bit. I'm no better or worse at this one than I was at the actual arcade. But it's really creepy when you're like, okay, giant blue hallway, big glowing dots, going forward, turning right, going forward. Oh, my fucking God, ghost! Fuck. Turn around. Oh, there's a ghost behind me. Fuck. Because you can't plan out.
I can't see it.
Well, I'll fake this way and then juke back and loop around and eat the power button. No, you're just like, power button, fuck it, I'm eating it now because I don't know what's around that corner.
Somebody goofily, because did you ever play those text adventures like Zork, go west, etc.? Somebody made a text adventure of Pac-Man, which had me howling because it literally is, you know, you're in a long blue
hunt. Eat a dot.
There's a dot in front of you. Eat. Choose a direction. East, west. There's a dot in front of you. Eat. You can go east, west. And you just do it and eventually ghosts show up and it happens. Like, so they programmed it out.
That's funny.
Too funny.
Now, aren't they... Did I read somewhere that they're re-releasing or redoing... Somebody rewrote the Hitchhiker's Guide text adventure?
Yes. They the BBC to celebrate the anniversary, I believe, of the game, not the show.
Right.
Because it was all written by Douglas Adams.
Sure.
So they're throwing it up on the BBC with extra stuff, and they're giving it away for free. You can just play it.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good. And so, it's a download or it's a playthrough them?
Sure. I'm not sure.
Because if it's a playthrough them, it's only going to be free until they decide they don't want to host the space anymore.
Yeah. I don't know which one. I do know that it's
going to
be
there.
I'll
have to check that out.
Because I love myself some text adventures.
Yeah.
Any of those old action adventure games, clickables. Yep. Like, I don't know whether we want to save that for an episode. If you used to play all the, like, Quest for Glories and Space Quests and, like, the adventure click point-and-click games, Myst.
Never got into Myst.
It's because it was stupid.
It was a little...
It was really hard.
It was very slow for my taste. It's like, I don't mind me some puzzle games, you know, where I got to figure stuff out and unlock stuff or rearrange stuff. But when you look at the graphic, like, the first thing that drew me in was you look at the graphics on the back of the box. And obviously, you know, they're screenshots, but you're like, wow, this is fucking awesome looking. And then you load the game in and you realize, well, that's what it is. Yeah. It's not like a screenshot of something that's moving around. This is your screen, you know, and it was like, oh.
And it was unusual for that regard, but...
Well, this isn't...
But it was also exceptionally hard.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
There's actually the first puzzle is how you get to the other worlds in Myst.
Right.
And they give you a spoiler envelope in the box that says how you do that. Like, in case you can't... How much time have you spent doing this? A week. Would you like to see more of the game? Yes. Open up the envelope and it'll tell you what to do. All right. Now I can see the other worlds.
Wow.
It was that difficult.
Yeah, that's not good.
But, like, now I go to arcades and I'll find a game that I want to play.
Right.
And I'll play it once. And I'm like, I'm starting to feel like a fogey, but not for nothing. Every time I go to arcade now, there's a lot of DDR-type games.
Yeah.
When I go to cons, and this is what's cool, is when you go to cons and they have a game room, they usually import a bunch of weirdo Japanese games.
Sure.
So you get to play, like, the Beat on the Drum game.
Right.
Or the, it's the DDR game, but you have to, like, shoulder bash into pads.
Okay.
Weird shit like that. Those are, like, now that's more or less what I got. And, oh, tons of DJ games, like spin discs and hit rhythms.
Yeah.
I don't love them. I'll play it for a half hour if I'm bored.
Yeah. I actually, when DJ Hero came out, I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
It was a while after it came out, I actually got my hands on it to play it, and it's like, wow, you know, in concept, a lot cooler of an idea than the actual gameplay mechanic of it was.
Because you're more or less just doing shorthand. You're just a shorthand typist in the middle of a courtroom.
Yeah. But some of the, like, the more recent stuff that I remember from arcades, I used to love me some Cyberball. It was the football game with the robots.
Okay.
And you had, like, a human-looking cyborg that was your quarterback. But then, like, your wide receiver was a tall, skinny thing with a unicycle wheel. Your tight end was a short, squat-looking Volkswagen thing with, like, two wheels and moved really slow. And you would play offense-defense, but it was one of those... It was a co-op versus game. So you had two screens here and two screens here. So your team would play the other team, and if you were playing co-op... One was the quarterback, one was one of the other offensive players, or if you're playing defense, one was a cornerback, one was a linebacker. Hmm. And you had your turbo boost, you know, for speeding up and stuff, but it was basically football. You didn't have a number of downs. There was a 50-yard line, and every down, the ball came closer to exploding. And once you crushed the 50-yard line, it would defuse your ball and start it over again.
Gotcha.
But that was, so yeah, you know, you're running, oh, fuck, my tight end has the ball. I have to run 30 more yards to cross the 50. Linebacker comes along and smacks you. Your tight end would just blow up because he was holding the ball when it went off.
That's
kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
And Mad Dog McCree. I don't know if you remember that game.
Is that one of those shooters? Like the...
It was a shooter, but it was one of those live-action laser disc shooters. So you were shooting against the actual movie stuff.
I know what you're talking about.
Those games were awesome, man. I loved playing that one because I'm not a gun guy, but I happen to be really good if the sights were accurate on the video game gun. But those, like, you know, after every wave, you had to have, you know, a gunfight with somebody.
Yeah, there was a duel.
Yeah, so it was the whole, you have to have the gun pointing down, and the assumption is it's in your holster. So you'd pull it from the holster and shoot the guy. The gimmick was it didn't have to be in the holster, just the mercury switch in the gun had to know that it was pointing down.
Right.
So if you finally made it to Mad Dog at the end, who you found out through trial and error was wearing a vest, and you had to shoot him in the head. And after you shoot him in the head, it was stagger, stagger, crawl, crawl, drop to one knee. He pulls out his other gun, so you have to shoot him in the head again. Because most people are like, fuck, dude, I shot him. Yes, that's all. What do you mean I'm fucking dead? Like, you're busy celebrating. So you would hold the gun up to the screen where his head is,
right,
and then just break your wrist and bend the gun down so the minute you see him flinch, you're just straightening your wrist up and mashing on the trigger. But I loved those kind of games. Those were pretty cool.
Again, I'm also not a huge gun guy, but there was I don't know where we were. Hell, it might have been Bowcraft. But there was the Aerosmith game. I don't remember what it was called. It was like Aerosmith, I don't know, living... La Vida Loca. I got nothing. But it was a gun game.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah, living somewhere in an elevator. but it was a... You both have two, like, fully functional fantasy machine gun sort of...
Oh, yeah.
Revolution. X-Revolution or something. So you have to free Aerosmith and their fans because of so stupid video game plot.
Like, of course.
We have a shitty game plot and we're going to put Aerosmith in it because they let us.
Yep.
So we got there and... My girlfriend and I were sitting playing it, and we realized, didn't you just die? Yeah, I guess I didn't. Okay, we'll just keep playing. And I died. Oh, it's just going to let me keep... The game was glitched somehow. There was something wrong with the game, or somebody decided, fuck you, we get it. Because you continue to play, and we spent, a long time.
Right.
Saving Aerosmith.
Nice.
To the point where we were like, there's only one level. Like, let's just finish.
Right.
Let's just come on. We got this far together. It's free. We can go somewhere else. We've been here fucking an hour. We're going to finish the game.
Right.
So we do so. And then the game tells us that we didn't free all of the hostages, that there's one on each level, and we didn't catch them, so you'll have to go back and start over. We were like, oh, we're done.
Yeah,
The fuck we are. So your game not only was a quarter sucker, because we conceivably went through about $20 worth of free game quarters.
Right.
But... After spending $20, we don't even get an ending. We get we didn't do it good enough.
Right.
Fuck you, Aerosmith. Exactly. Go live in an elevator somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I did like some games that had, like, you know, it wasn't just you're moving crosshairs on a screen, but you get to hold. you know, a gun or a shotgun or
like
a rifle.
The Terminator one was like
or
that.
Some big, huge, goofy fucking thing.
Yeah, you know, chain
I
gun.
Used to hate crossbow. Anything that had the gun mounted and it was just on a pivot so you couldn't actually pick it up and hold it and move it. But, like, Time Crisis.
So much fun.
I loved. And that had a great mechanic in it because of the foot pedal.
Yeah.
You know, you could duck with Time Crisis. That was kind of cool.
The, I think maybe the last game that I ever played that, like, I let myself, I was, I spent $5 on this game. Am I going to keep doing that? Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Was the Police Trainer.
Yes.
Where, like, you're standing in the little chamber where it's judging your motion.
Yep, I remember that. They had it at Menlo Park Mall.
I played that game until the next day I couldn't move.
Yeah.
Because you literally, as you move, it's tracking your movement, so you hide behind something, and you're hiding behind a thing, you hop out, the bullet's moving in slow bullet time at you.
And if you wanted to duck, you motherfucking had to duck.
Correct, and you could do little swervy actions in that thing.
Yep.
I played it until I was in pain.
Yeah, not good for fat guys, let me tell you. I'm ducking. Dude, you're 3 inches shorter than you were just standing up. Come on, if I duck anymore, I'm not standing up again. And then you had all those games like the skateboard game or snowboard game where it was, you know, you're holding on to the harness, but you're standing on some sort of board.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're trying to do a tail kick or something else, and you're actually like, God, oh, my God. You get off the game, and you're walking like a fucking baby giraffe. You're like, hey, the buzzer for our table went off. Let's go. Fuck, call an ambulance. Get me a wheelchair.
I tried one of those once. I think it was the skate one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've never learned how to skateboard. I never skateboarded before in my life. Why would I feel as if in a video game representation I would have any idea what's going on?
Yeah.
Because, you know, my guy was the one that was just like, go forward.
Yeah.
He's not really moving. Do I have to, like, actually, like, step off the game and push? Like,
what
do I do? I don't know. How do I go forward? Go forward!
And the game always tried to egg you on, too. You know, it's like, look, I don't want to fall off my fucking skateboard or my snowboard and, you know, road burn on my face.
Yes.
I just want to finish the level. So I've got enough points to get me through the level. I just have to find the finish line. Meanwhile, the voice from the crowd of the video game is like, go for the wall! And you're going, I don't want to fucking go for the wall! You're, like, yelling back at the video game in the middle of the arcade.
Ugh.
Ugh, good stuff.
Yeah. Well,
we're gonna have to hit that arcade when it opens.
Yo, damn right. It's gonna be right. It's over on Division Street.
Oh my god.
If anybody's in New Jersey,
there you go. Anybody's in New Jersey, the Somethings will be at the arcade in Division Street
in Somerville. So I think that brings us to a fine close to this video game adventure. This has been a good one. I think it does. I think we need to.
And there's a ton more video games that we didn't even touch on.
Yeah, we could do a part two with a bunch of the fan requests. I would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
To you guys about video games.
Yeah, definitely. If you got some quarter eaters, throw them up on our Facebook page, on the forums of our website, somethingcast.com, facebook.com/somethingcast, somethingcast@gmail.com, or the Twitter @STSTcast. And let us know what your favorite coin ops were.
Yeah, what ate your quarters and destroyed your childhood.
Absolutely.
So without saying, I am James Hatton.
I am Podcast Rob.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.